It's Cofield and Company.
What do you think about the pirate who's got flair?
I am down with the handsome pirate.
Like the handsome pirate.
I'm down with the handsome pirate.
The next thing now on social media, anyone who has gone out the last couple of days,
they get shamed.
Just gets blasted. Like, my God. Wait a second. I am wearing a shirt that says Drunky McDrunkerson.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go. 5 o'clock hour. John Von Tobel, Steve Cofield. Ari is back in our Finley Toyota studios. If you want to watch the show, we are doing it outside. It is a bit breezy, nice and brisk.
You almost lost your glasses.
I did. I'm holding on to everything, but could be worse, right? We talked to Nick Waugh earlier from VGK, and he was saying his family is all locked down somewhere in Quebec, and they're snowed in as well. Not only the coronavirus, but you really can't go outside. So if it's 62 and breezy, we'll take it here in Las Vegas. Big Five time.
Battle-Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
Oh, my. It's over.
It's treacherous. It's a treacherous day with a win. I fear this, especially when Adam Hill latches onto something and says he really likes it. I have fallen in line. I'm enjoying Tiger King. The internets are going crazy over this bizarro documentary series. We're not going to spoil it today. Tomorrow we will spoil it. We told you yesterday, watch it by Thursday, because the full recap is coming. But what I fear is things get overhyped, like on this show, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Right.
Like on this show, the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Right.
I think they still deliver. But obviously, I'm part of the hype machine.
Sandwiches?
You've started to watch. No, both Popeyes and Curb. You've started to watch Tiger King.
Yeah.
We overdid it, didn't we? For you.
For me, yes. Like, it's not, I'm not saying it's a bad documentary, right? I enjoy documentaries. You know me. I told you, like, I like my true crime documentaries. But it's not, like, I understand, like.
Are you not fascinated by America and crazy people and meth addicts? And
I think like, it's, yeah. I guess
there's this whole underbelly that we never knew about of all these exotic pet owners around the country, and they found like five or six of them who are just fascinating characters, and they're all a little bit different, but then they also have these similarities, and the main character is just a lunatic.
They all are.
They as you get introduced to different people on this series, you're like blown away by their oddities.
I guess that's the appeal of just how weird they are, the cult-like following of just the exotic animal community.
Yes.
And these three ringleaders that you have in it. But I think, I guess maybe I was just going in, it wasn't even the expectations. I was just going in, I thought it was going to be more of like a true crime, like what actually happened, all that stuff. And it kind of more.
But you're not there yet.
Right. And I understand that. But it also takes like a really broad brush, not broad brush, a specific brush, and it tells you everything about all these people.
Right.
And I think that's where I'm getting lost. Like, yes, they're weird and kind of, you know.
I will say this. They probably could have shortened it to like five episodes and seven. I'm just going to read you a couple of reactions to the show. Someone on social media said, "This show is visual crack. Meth? Polyamory? One-handed lesbians, obscene amounts of tribal tattoos, exotic animal cults, and just in caps, $100 a week. Another one, what I expected from Tiger King, mostly tigers. What I got from Tiger King, several tiger music videos, yes, several cults, attempted murder, actual murder, ? Consensual polyamory, ? And again, many more music videos than I expected, and this was my favorite one. It has everything. Tigers, murder, monkeys, polyamory, reality TV, lynx, vendettas, blow-up dolls, severed limbs, horse penis, and sweet, unforgettable music videos."
Yeah, I like the there's a lot there.
You haven't seen the horse schlong yet.
No, I haven't. But I understand. Like I said, I understand the appeal of it.
Yeah.
But it was like every single tweet that I saw for like a 12 to 24-hour span.
It gets maddening.
Was all about this. And I've listened to the podcast, the Joe Exotic one. So I understand the story, and watching it, I'm just like, okay, like it's interesting, but I wouldn't talk about it every second of every day.
John sends over earlier today. It blew me away. I was offended, angered. I did weep a little bit. He said, why is everyone obsessed with this thing? I've seen much better in my time. I texted you and I was like, you bring five documentaries to the table that are better now.
In no specific order, O.J. Made in America, pretty good. Making a Murderer,
Making a Murderer.
Abducted in Plain Sight.
You know, I was thinking of that as it was dragging on a little bit, and I finished all seven episodes. I was thinking of, why can't I not remember the lady's dad?
I don't remember his name.
And all the memes that came out of that.
Of course.
Him just sitting in his chair talking about the regrettable experience of having to relieve his friend.
Yes.
That one will never go away.
That whole documentary.
And
that's ridiculous.
No, but, and that's why Tiger King.
Can I talk to Jane? No.
That's why Tiger King is great. Along with Abducted in Plain Sight, there are people who are like this. And you're like, I am not around these types of people. Like, I can't even call them simpletons. You're just like, I've never encountered someone like this. What is going on? Going back to Tiger King, the crew that this guy has around his sort of zoo, you're like, what sewer did they all crawl out of?
Well, they had
the amount of teeth, limbs missing. I mean, existence before they met up with him.
Was there a scene where and this isn't going to ruin anything, was he offering a job to like a lady at the gas station? He was like, you come work for me, I'll take care of you.
Possibly.
And she was like, okay.
Okay, you gave me three documentaries. Yep. What else?
Super Size Me, which is a classic.
I still haven't seen that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Very good. It's a classic. Got me into documentaries, actually. And then this is, I think you'll be down with this, True Life, I'm a Professional Eater. That documentary.
Is that old?
Yeah, it's pretty old. Yeah. It's like early 2000s. Because they follow Kobayashi.
That's the one where Kobayashi doesn't want to insult.
Yeah, he doesn't want to insult
the
people.
Noodles, and they make him like the hottest noodles ever, and he's dying.
Yep.
And he's like, I got to do it.
That, and then he goes around and he gets challenged at multiple spots, and he goes to another one where they have the sushi bar. It's on the conveyor belt, and I think he eats 88 plates of sushi. it doesn't just follow him. It's like the Eater X guy and all that stuff. Like, it's a really good one. So.
You know that's my cup of tea.
Right, exactly. I knew that appealed to you. There's five.
I will try to come up with five tomorrow. To continue this fight against Adam.
You didn't seem too thrilled with the O.J. Made in America. I thought you loved that.
Well, I was trying to think, which O.J. are you talking about?
The ESPN one.
That was great.
Yeah.
That
was like a mock series
kind of deal. The kind of docudrama one that they did on TNT got stupid. And unfortunately, Travolta as Shapiro was just, it was hard to bear. Yeah.
I'm talking about the ESPN one. That was a good one.
Top four stories.
Number four.
This is actually one that Ari was all fired up about coming out of the weekend, but I figured we'd mention it. We've all been out shopping. We've all seen how insane this whole thing is in terms of trying to get stuff and people hoarding. You did see that Costco is not accepting returns now on toilet paper, paper towels, sanitizing wipes, water, rice, and Lysol. Ari, you're fired up about that?
Of course I am. You guys aren't?
I don't care.
I
get it.
I'm not saying it's a non-story. I guess I never thought that people were going to just buy out all the toilet paper and then try to bring it back. But yeah, I mean, from a legit standpoint, the coronavirus can survive on lots of things. Yeah, you're not bringing that stuff back. And if you bought, 11 years worth of toilet paper, then find somewhere to store it. Or if you want to be a scumbag, I guess sell it. But no, you're not bringing it back.
Yeah, and I do think, I think we have a long way to go, but the way people are buying them up everywhere, the magnitude that they are, I do think that months from now people are going to have huge amounts of cases of toilet paper they don't know what to do with and they can't return. I am happy.
I'd actually love to know how many people went out and hoarded to a ridiculous level, mm-hmm. and now this week they're like, how am I going to pay my mortgage or how am I going to pay my rent? I don't know. Every dollar counts. If you freaking spent $200 on freaking toilet paper because you thought you needed, a year and a half worth, and maybe you should prioritize, think it through a little bit.
Yeah, they deserve it. And because I'm amazed, this is before everything really hit hard. I went to Target, my usual trip a couple of weeks back, and I just got one of those. We always get it when we're out of toilet paper, like the big 90 roll or not even whatever it is. And that's going to last us for like a really long time.
We started calculating it, and I was like, we have 6 months worth.
Yeah.
And I didn't even buy that much.
Right. And
it's
so I don't
two
know.
People, and we're not heavy crappers.
Of course. And I'm a folder. So I like to get the most out of my toilet paper, my TP. So I all these people were hoarding this. I think you deserve it. But even at the same time, you're good for a really long time. So it's not like you spent money on something you don't need. You'll eventually need it.
Can we opine on one more thing?
Folding?
I'm part of the media. I'm very much pro-media. I don't want to, cut down the legitimacy of what we do. But one thing we can stop doing is going to Costco and taking pictures of the lines. There are other stores. You are creating this fear. There are other stores that have stuff. And, you know, I'm going to give a shout-out. About 4 days ago, I did go to Trader Joe's, and I don't know if it's at every one of their stores. They had a nice system. It was organized.
Nope.
You go up. You wait in line. They let about 10 people go in. Everyone's not tackling each other inside. Like, there's also a way to do this so that it's not survival of the fittest. Stop going out and essentially rewarding the places by taking pictures there.
Yeah.
Because there are some places not doing it right.
I also feel like it's starting to slow down a bit. Right? Like,
I went
the other day, you know, after your show last week, actually, with Adam to the store. And I got everything I needed. All the essentials. And, like, there were a couple things, like, off-brand. Like I told you, the dish soap, right? I didn't get the dish soap I usually get, but there's plenty of dish soap.
Right.
I think it started to slow down. And my mom went the other day. There's a couple of Winco's out here that are all fully stocked and ready to go. So I don't know if that just let the cat out of the bag because people didn't know about these. You can look them up. But it seems like it's slowed down a little bit now.
Good. Good. Stop panicking.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we all, you know, we're in fear that we're going to need stuff down the road. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. Pump the brakes a little bit. And please, media, enough of the stupid pictures. Okay? Top three stories.
Number three.
This is a lovely story. We didn't have our Good Times with Mr. Sunshine portion of the show today, but you have a nice story about senior citizens and whales.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this video. Well, no, whales. Hungry, hungry hippos. You see this video? Oh, whales, as in like the place. Okay. Yeah, this took place in Wales. So,
or they were playing whales.
Yeah, I thought you were calling them all fat.
No.
They use these self isolating seniors, staving off boredom by giving them like scooping, like little scoop mechanisms, and they push them all in this circle, and they're playing hungry hippos, but with humans. It's so heartwarming and beautiful.
Makes your heart melt. Much sarcasm here.
No, it's great. Love every second of it.
I feel like you want to turn on this good time story.
Nah, I just don't really care. Like, I guess we're looking for a moment of levity. Like, they're doing a good job. Okay. Why does everything have to be ooey and gooey? And look at this. Look at these people.
We're not cut out for a pandemic, you and I.
No.
This show is not cut out for it. And I just mean from the, hey, let's deliver, you know, nice videos. Most of the, again, I don't want to sound like a jerk. Most of the lists that I've seen, like kind of the games being played on social media, I'm like,
yeah.
I'm just not that bored.
So, somebody, or no, is that
maybe there are a lot of people who are super bored, which is great if you entertain them, but, you know, just go ahead and put this list together.
Yeah, Adam tagged me the other day. Like, send out a GIF of one of your favorite movie of all time. And I'm like, no. I actually wanted to respond with, I'm not doing this. I have plenty of time, and I'm not doing this. This is dumb. Or
I'm busy.
Right. Or this is more of, I'm also out of shape. I can still do it. But, like, my buddy the other day tagged me in the C10, do 10. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
The push-up challenge. And I was like, I'm not doing this. Like this is dumb. Also, part of it is, and this is maybe just, it reflects on me as a person, I don't know that many people that I would tag in something like that. Like, by the time I got to, like, the fourth person, they'd be like, I haven't talked to you in years. Why are you tagging me in this?
I have a small circle of trust, a very small circle. Top two stories.
Number two.
All right, so you are betting. John does a show on VSiN, and they've got a lot of their programming back up over on 920 The Game, and you guys are doing a lot of video stuff from home. Did you make some NFL draft bets?
Yeah, this morning. So we were getting ready for one of our spots with Humans, Matt Humans. Just breaking down a little bit about the NFL draft as we're less than a month away. So I bet two this morning, both over at William Hill. And if you have a William Hill app loaded, you can still bet on these right now. I haven't checked the updated odds. I would assume they haven't moved that much since this morning. But Justin Herbert draft position over six, even money. Now, just to specify too, over six means, you know, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, and on. I know some people get confused by the wording. And then CeeDee Lamb draft position over 12.5, and that was at minus 110. So those are the two I bet today, and I'm going to add more as we get closer.
You already have a side Herbert bet with Matt Humans, right?
Right. It was a buffet bet. I think Tua, and we made this like a year ago, like way before, that Tua was going to just get drafted before him.
So it's just Tua head-to-head against Herbert.
Yep.
What the hell would the odds be on that now?
Oh, it wouldn't be out there. I think it'd be at least minus 500, 550. Like, he'd be a massive favorite to go
by. I mean, I guess there's still a little bit of risk with Tua if there's another medical scare and I don't know, you know, is the fact that people really can't examine him up close like they want to, is that good or bad for him?
I think it's good.
People going to roll the dice on the mystery?
No, well, because I think by all medical indications, he was good to go, right? Right before all of this hit. He looked great. He had workout videos. They obviously got to meet up at the combine and do the medical stuff. So I think he's fine. If you didn't get to meet with him, or if this happened like before the combine or some of the meetings, I think he'd be in a more dangerous, precarious spot. I think it also says something about Herbert, the fact that a guy who's coming off of a hip injury and two ankle surgeries is well ahead of him, at least in the, it seems like, the draft boards for a lot of NFL GMs.
Top story.
Number one.
Are we going to have the draft on April 23rd? This is a topic we've been discussing on this show on Cofield & Company for a couple of weeks. I don't think it makes sense. I can't imagine being comfortable if I've got three picks in the first round, two picks in the first round. Like, this is a massive draft for my organization. What do you mean we're not going to be able to hang out at our headquarters? What do you mean we can't actually examine the players like we normally can? Like, we have a lot riding on this draft. Well, there are some GMs, according to Adam Schefter. He was on ESPN this morning on Get Up, and there are some GMs. There's a brewing storm here of people around the NFL who are like, hey, bosses with the National Football League, we don't like this. We got to change this.
Right now, the NFL seems intent upon having the draft in April exactly on the dates it is scheduled to have them, just not in Las Vegas. The general managers are not happy because, essentially, as of today, Roger Goodell has ordered that all team facilities shut down until at least April 8th. So where are they going to be conducting the draft?
That is a great question. If they are open in April, what states will allow teams to go back into their facilities? Will it be California? We don't have a facility finished here in Nevada, but would Nevada let, you know, the Raiders draft at their headquarters? The Raiders are going to be back in Alameda. That was the plan the entire time. But we'll get into that and much more on what Adam Schefter said. He also threw out an idea to extend the draft out, which I believe would be TV gold, and ESPN would freaking be all over it.
It's the Big Five at Five, brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. If you've been injured, call Justin Watkins at Battle Born Injury Lawyers, 570-9000.
There's going to be exceptions to this, but for the average person, who also, by the way, can work from home, this is some kind of hardship. You're all eating pizzas and watching Tiger King. Your life is not hard.
It's Cofield and Company.
And, more importantly, where's your f***ing head at? If you think that this is the hard part of the coronavirus experience, buddy, I got bad news for you. It's called tomorrow and the day after that.
'Cause I saw Tiger, now I understand. I saw Tiger,
Tiger. Great singer. You gotta admit it. Joe Exotic.
He's not singing that song.
I was talking about doing, well, we were discussing doing these goofy videos. Hey, behind the scenes with the Cofield and Company crew. Watch Steve shoot a basket in his backyard. I was thinking about doing Kenny Rogers, the gambler, but now it's like 4 days after he passed away. If we roll out some Joe Exotic songs, I think it might work. I don't know the lyrics yet, but I think I can nail the I Saw Tigers.
Well, as long as you got the lyrics in front of you, like a karaoke machine, right? You'll be good.
We have a karaoke program. Will Joe Exotic be in the karaoke program? There's about 40,000 songs. I have a feeling maybe not.
People are ridiculous for this. It's not that good of a documentary.
Which, by the way, I wish you had come over the top on me a couple of minutes ago when, well, we were both kind of lecturing the internet on the list they're putting out. Like, hey, these are the five jobs I had.
Yeah.
And we're both like, this is stupid. I have spent 10 or 15% of the show the last couple of days talking about Tiger King. Yeah. So who's stupid? Whatever you like, whatever entertains you during this pandemic, you do. Don't listen. We are, well, I am a curmudgeon and an old man. John is a curmudgeon and a young man.
Well,
both
I think
of us should shut up.
You should, but the,
no,
but the
I
difference,
said both. You, oh, you no. do.
But the difference is, like, you're not like, wow, Tiger King's the best. I nominate Adam Hill, JVT, Mark Seidel, and Ryan McKinnell to name their top five documentaries. Here are mine. Like, that's stupid, even though I made a list of my top five documentaries. But, like, that stupid nomination challenging. Like, I told you, we were.
This
I
is was, what people like, my
no,
friend.
No, you don't.
Yes,
like,
you
I
do.
Saw I saw on Twitter right now, name your top five NBA players. I nominate so-and-so to do so. I'm like, you're the sixth person who's come up with this challenge. Nobody else cares. And it's so like I saw
people care.
There was one,
especially
was like,
if it comes from a celebrity. People seem to care.
There was one guy, and I can't remember. It was a media member, and they tweeted out, I'm going to do a debate of the day. My top five NBA players are my top five favorite NBA players are this. Who are yours? Let's have a debate. I'm like, that's not a debate. It's literally just who your favorite NBA players are. You can't sit there and go, no, you're stupid because you like LeBron. Like, that's not a debate.
I've got Buck Williams at four.
You idiot! Yeah. What do you mean you like Buck Williams?
I like Buck Williams.
Who was the old Knick player I referenced in our text the other day? That played in the early 60s?
Richie Guerin.
Yeah. Love Richie Guerin.
I'm going to make a case for Richie Guerin. So we were talking before we went to break about the NFL. There's some rumblings that there are some organizational people around the league who are not happy that the NFL draft is going down with all these different qualifications now. They may not be able to use the headquarters. Here's a little more Adam Schefter talking about it this morning on Get Up. Do me a favor, Ari, fire Schefter too.
Some teams, like the teams in California, like the teams in New Jersey, Philadelphia, maybe they're not even allowed inside their building by the time the draft rolls around, whereas other teams might be allowed. So that would be an advantage for those teams. I had one team suggest to me yesterday that we could wind up renting a hotel room, a conference room in a hotel, so that we could have our war room there because we're not allowed in our facilities.
Is this a big deal over nothing? Because you seemed to suggest that earlier. But you know, if you were running a draft and all of a sudden you got a draft from a hotel room and then you see pictures of, like, Jerry Jones and his palatial, you know, normal digs, you're going to be pissed.
So the more I think about it, the more I am kind of digging my heels in on this is not as big of a deal as I think they're making this out to be. Right? So let me ask you this. Because as you mentioned, right, let's use that example. The Raiders, like, I don't know, let's say the Raiders and the Cowboys, right? If the Raiders can't draft at their facility and the Cowboys can. Other than the location, what will the Cowboys have that the Raiders don't?
See, I can't answer because I don't know what the normal access is to in. I don't know.
But I feel
it's a great question. I don't have the answer. I don't know what is essential to all these clubs that they will be screwed out.
If it's one less hotel phone. Room.
Well, by the way, you do realize the simple logistics of if we're really social distancing and we're you can't do it in a hotel room.
Well, no, I feel
you have
like
to get like a friggin' ballroom at a hotel.
Yeah.
And then what? Everyone is going to be 10 feet apart and like, I like this guy for this, and this reason. Like, what are you yell across a ballroom at each other?
But
don't touch the phone! You got to swab the phone! Come on!
Well, I mean, I feel like, one, you don't have to yell at each other. I've worked in banquets. The ballrooms aren't that big. And like,
that'd be my drafting stuff.
What's the essential personnel? Like, we've seen war rooms before. There's like 10 people in the room. I think you'd be fine. Honestly, I just think this is – look, general managers, I get it. Like, in anything, you're creatures of habit. Right. And I understand not liking it.
And we don't want a disadvantage. If there's a perceived disadvantage, we're mad.
But what is the disadvantage? Right? If you have maybe one less phone, I guess I get that, right? Or something. But you're working with the same limited amount of tape. It's not like a team in California can't work out a player, but a team in Texas can.
Right?
Right? You're working with those same restrictions. You all have the same game film. So I don't understand I get it being annoying, right? We're broadcasting from your backyard. It's a deal. But we're still doing it, and it's not the exact product. But
damn,
it's
just as good, though.
Right? No, but if every other radio station, which it is, is doing the same thing, like Dan Le Batard, his show. You know, I listen to it every day. They're broadcasting from their homes, and then they're producing on like Skype, and it sounds awful. But every radio show is doing something like that, so they're not at a disadvantage that another radio station is.
Right.
And so that's my case here. Is like, I just don't understand what the massive disadvantage would be.
We're gonna talk to a former NFL player, Roman Harper, on the way back. We'll see if he can give us some insight on all the. The needs, the norms during a draft, but more importantly, we're going to get into more on Cam Newton and what's going on with the Panthers and where Cam could land down the road.
Join the conversation on Twitter at Cofield & Co.
When people see me play or anything, it's being positively contagious. And when being around certain people, I hope I'm that for a person. Nobody wants to be around a person that's slumped over, always being a pest or a pessimist about certain things, certain situations. They want to be around a person that's going to bring light and optimism.
You're listening to Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So that was Cam Newton. Cam is one of the biggest stories around the sports world right now. Without a gig, released. And we wonder what Cam Newton's future is going to be. A guy who played for the Panthers and the Saints is on the horn with us. Former NFL player Roman Harper is up with Steve and John. How are you?
I'm doing good, Steve. How you guys doing?
I'm good. You staying safe? What are you doing to pass the time? Actually, you know what I should ask? What's going on? You're in North Carolina, right? So what's going on there in terms of locking things down? Have they really shut it down, or are they still deciding?
The governor just shut Mecklenburg County down as of yesterday, and I guess tomorrow at 8 a.m. is when you have a shut-in stay or whatever that means. I don't really know. I am looking forward to it. Like, my kids are still, like, they're doing computer learning and all that other stuff. I do know Chick-fil-A will still be open tomorrow for lunch, so that is one good thing we got going for us. Everything else is just kind of up in the air, bro. I'm just literally winging it just like the rest of us. I just wish we had more, like, top-down, like, some directions, but it's all right. I mean, I got a doctor that's next door. He's actually a surgeon, but he owns a pair of scrubs, so I told him, bro, if I got questions, I'm coming to you.
There you go. That's nice to live next to a doctor.
What's the order at Chick-fil-A?
I got three kids and a wife, so not just about me usually. I'm not even a Chick-fil-A guy usually, but if they want Chick-fil-A, I eat Chick-fil-A. I get a buffalo chicken sandwich and just kind of keep it rolling. Very simple. I like the waffle fries, though. I can't lie. I'm a waffle fry guy.
That's all you can ask for. Keep it rolling. That's what Cam Newton would like to do. First of all, that was a terrible segue, but let's talk about what's the feeling in the area? Were people shocked that, Cam is pushed out because of the signing of Bridgewater, but more importantly, yesterday he's released. Are people just shocked that he's been released?
No, I don't, look, being released is just kind of part of the business, especially when Carolina made the decision to sign Teddy Bridgewater. I think that was the biggest shock factor was, at the beginning of free agency, next thing you know, Teddy Bridgewater signed in Carolina. But that's just, if anybody thought that Teddy Bridgewater would have a starting job in the NFC South, it would have been Tampa Bay. Lo and behold, it's here in Carolina. I think that was the biggest shock factor. And it just comes so crazy because if you look at Carolina's social media and all the things that they've been pushing, and they've done a great job of that. It's great content. But it's been all talking about Cam Newton, him being the next quarterback for them next year. Matt Rhule looking forward to working with these guys. All the great things that they're saying about him. And then on a Tuesday morning out of nowhere, it just shocks the whole Charlotte area. And it's not like you're just releasing a normal guy. When they released Eric Reed after signing him to a long-term deal, a 3 or 4 year deal last year, that didn't shock anybody. Releasing a guy like Cam Newton has been the face of this organization. You took him number one overall 9 years ago. It's just a really big thing because of all the things that he's meant to this city, this county, this state, South Carolina as well. And everybody was just so used to Cam Newton taking snaps here. And now you look up, they're done. And, Thomas Davis is not here. Luke Kuechly's not here. Greg Olsen's not here. Cam Newton's not here. So all the faces that they've been so used to loving on and used to seeing is all gone now. And it's all happened very fast. And the only thing that's different is, David Tepper's coming. He's made his whole way. And that's just part of the business.
Roman, you mentioned it, right? Part of the business getting released. Also part of the business is showing other teams that you're healthy. Cam can't do that considering everything that's going on, this limit on physicals. How much do you think this is going to hurt him in terms of finding a job? Not so much how good he is, but just showing teams that he's healthy and able to play.
I definitely think it's going to be a problem. I mean, you can't go anywhere. You can't travel anywhere. But I think that's the issue that everybody's having to deal with. So, but it's an even and level playing field. You just look up. But I think the biggest thing is not so much about health concerns, but it's more about just availability and, like, quarterbacks needed. Like, how many teams need a quarterback or actually in search of a quarterback actively right now? And I also look at it from this standpoint of if you're going to go a different direction, if I'm the Carolina Panthers, you're going in a different direction. If you can put Cam Newton out there and everybody knows that he's going to be on the free agency market, it's a totally different story that we're having, conversation that we're having right now. Because now other teams are prepared to have a look at Cam Newton. Now we're looking at all this film. Nobody thought Cam Newton was going to be available. That just happened, right? If it was, it was going to be like you'd have to give up a couple of draft picks and a trade. Like, we understand that they were maybe open to that. But the fact of the matter, like, he's just on the market and anybody could have a chance at him. Nobody knew that was going to happen. And then just kind of the way, everybody had kind of decided on the quarterback play that they were going to go after. The Colts know that they were going to go after Phillip Rivers. Everybody knew that because of the connection between Frank Reich and Phillip Rivers being back in the day. So what other job is out there? And you look at the Chargers, they're looking in the draft. They want to go young. They're looking at the next one, right? I know Cam Newton could probably end up there and then kind of be a segue, but Cam Newton's not trying to be the segue. He's trying to be the franchise quarterback. I thought Chicago Bears would be a great fit for him, going up there knowing that they are instantly ready to win right now defensively. Or they just have some – Mitch Trubisky just has not played up to the draft pick. Let's just be honest with it. And now – and who else? New England's out there. But is Belichick and New England, are they going to be – and Cam Newton, is that going to be the right mix? I think New England's willing to do whatever it takes to win. And I don't know if they can trade up high enough to go get Tua Tagovailoa either. So those are the two plays that I'm looking at right now. And, you know, Miami needs a quarterback, but they're all in on Tua, I believe.
Yep. I think the only match from a franchise quarterback standpoint where they'd commit to him for 2, 3, 4 years is Jacksonville. But I'm not sure that that's a mix with Doug Marrone.
I had Doug in New Orleans for a long time. He was the O-line coach. Look, I love Doug Marrone. He's a great coach. He did great things at Syracuse, going back to his alum. And then now in the league, he's been around once, twice. So I really like him as a coach. But you're right. I just don't know if that mixes. I mean, Jalen Ramsey was already out of there because of the personality breakup and all these other things. It's just amazing to see how many teams nowadays in the NFL, they just don't want guys speaking out. Like, they just don't want guys to kind of be themselves. They want you to just be a number. I want you to come here, clock in, do the best that you can, and then go home and don't do anything, right? So it's just really hard to kind of fathom. You know, Cam was in such a special place here in Carolina because they allowed him to be who he was. They allowed him to kind of dress and go and be his whole personality, because the guy really is a superstar. He's larger than life. He's a really big human being, which most people will not understand that until you actually see this guy. He's every bit of 6'6", almost 6'7". He's a really large person. So that comes saying a lot because he has a large personality as well. He loves to keep the things, everything light. He's an amazing teammate. I loved him as a teammate, candidly, and that's because he was always himself. And I had a completely different opinion about him when I was in New Orleans. I thought he was a me guy, a selfish guy. And once I got into the same locker room with him, it couldn't have been anything but differently than that, my first opinion. And I'm always the first one to make sure I tell people that, because everybody thinks they know Cam, but they really, really have no idea. And he doesn't let a lot of people in.
Former NFL player Roman Harper, Panthers, Saints, is on the horn with us on a Wednesday night for him. Back east, he's up with Cofield and company. Let's finish on Cam along these lines. Is there a chance that he's not with a squad to start the season? He just waits things out, sees if there's an opening that he is interested in. So, again, is there a chance that he's just not in the NFL to begin the season?
I don't think that's a good look for him, just in the fact of, like, look, I'd rather him go somewhere and sit and just throw the ball every week, because that's what he needs to do. He hasn't thrown the football in a long time. So sitting out and then all of a sudden something comes available, you're going to be so rusty at that point. You don't want to do that. I don't care about routes on air. That doesn't matter in throwing against high school kids. You have to be in football shape and ready to go. And understand that injuries will happen. And with a player like Cam Newton, when a quarterback has his first bits of struggle, the fans are going to come calling for him, because everybody knows everybody's favorite player on most bad teams is the backup quarterback. So that will be Cam Newton. And I think he just got to be prepared and locked in and ready to go if that situation does happen where he has to be a backup early. I don't think he's ever been a backup his whole life, so there would be something new for him. But I think he'll adjust. And also learning an offensive system, being in that every day, being in that room, I don't think you can just throw somebody in there and think that Cam's just going to pick it up like that, because he's been in one system his whole career. And in Auburn, they had like a whole different numbers and whatever system. So I think him being somewhere on a roster, being in a room in spite of wherever he's at on the roster, is going to be the best decision for him.
Roman Harper, you stayed in the league until you were, what, about 33, 34 years old. So what's your reaction? I mean, you mentioned Kuechly, and, you know, a lot of these guys, it's health-related, but what's your reaction to so many players now, good players too, who could potentially play until they're 32, 33, 34 years old, walking away? The latest one we saw was Travis Frederick, who's, what, 29 years old, the center from the Cowboys.
Yeah, Travis Frederick had some other issues, though, health issues and concerns. So, you know, he missed a season or two just and was able to come back last year. I just think it really boils down to people just look at longevity. They've seen all the studies. They see older players in the NFL and alumni things that, man, they're barely walking. These guys are just beat down. And you look up, and it's not like the NFL's done a ton for them since they left the game. I think – and so many of us have kids and children, and we imagine being able to play with our kids in the backyard and doing some of those things. And you don't want to jeopardize that. Not only that, but the money's way better. You can make a lot of money. If I'm drafted first round, then I get a new contract, I play 2 or 3 years out of that. Dude, I got $20, $30 million in the bank. Like, I'm good. Like, that's way better of a pot to start off with. So, and then you just kind of go and you learn how to money manage from there. And I think it's way possible. It's easy to do. If you get $10, $15 million in the bank, you make 5% out of that, that's $500,000 a year. Most people, we would say, could live off that. So that is how it goes, man. That is the number that you're trying to reach and you're trying to get to. And that's just the NFL that we're dealing with, because people know they have value now, and that's what they're trying to get.
Roman, I wanted to ask you about the draft. There's been a little discussion, or, you know, at least pushback from some GMs who aren't happy with, you know, the special circumstances for this draft. If you're running an organization, would you want to draft under these circumstances in, you know, less than 4 weeks?
Man, that's so hard. You know, they've been doing all this scouting. It's just really because you haven't been able to see the guys. You've only seen them at the combine. You haven't got to do like one-on-one meetings and bring them to your facility. I don't know. I hope they push it back, just because everybody, and, you know, the players don't get to come. You know, if they do come to Las Vegas, like, they're putting everybody at risk. It's just a lot going on. I just wish the NFL has just really had a middle finger up to everything else going on in society, because they have just kept business going like as status quo, right? Like, everybody's just going along, and they really can have barely people in the buildings right now. And I don't know how this whole free agency frenzy's been going, because it's just up and down, guys. I saw Von Bell just signed, so at least somebody else is getting more than a one-year deal right now. But I think they need to push the draft back. But I understand the NFL spend a lot of money locking up all those hotels and all the venues and things, because I know they do it really big when they do it. But just for the sake of everybody, the NFL is not going to run out of money anytime soon. I think they'll be okay.
I like this. We're doing radio a different way during this pandemic. You have Armageddon breaking out at home. We're in my backyard. There's dogs barking in the background. It's crazy out there.
Oh, you guys aren't even in a studio. You guys are in a backyard?
Yeah. That's good. If you didn't notice, that's good. We got like 30-mile-an-hour winds. There's cushions blowing in my face. It's great. It's great.
All right, John, you want to?
So I had a question for you before we get you out of here. The lowest point of my sports fandom was watching Tracy Porter run that pick six back in Super Bowl 44. You were on the field for that. So you're on the opposite end of this. What was that like for you?
So I'm going to go back to it because most people don't know this. Sorry, let me yell at my dog. Storm, get back out of there. sorry about that. So I'm covering Dallas Clark, and I was supposed to be double teaming him with Darren Sharper, because we were, you know, our biggest thing was we're not going to let their best player beat us. So we were going to have this double team. So I had him low and outside. And then I'm looking up and I'm covering, and Dallas Clark just runs like a straight takeoff. And I see Darren Sharper, who's supposed to be doubling with me, like take off the other way. So in my mind, I'm about to give up the touchdown, right? Like that's, so I'm in full panic mode. So I'm just like running my butt off, just trying to catch up. And then I look up because I start to hear the crowd, and Dallas Clark starts to slow down. I look back, and Tracy's running with the ball. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. And then he makes a move, and we about to score. And I just, like, go down to a knee. Just like, thank you, God. Like, oh, my God. Because in my mind, I thought I was about to give up a touchdown. I didn't know, like, Tracy was making this amazing play that go down in history. So, sucks for you, but pretty happy for me.
Sucks for you. That's awesome. All right, Roman. Well, since the pandemic and the shutdown is hitting you guys hard now in Charlotte, I hope you get through it safely and keep your family safe. And thanks for a couple of minutes.
Thanks, man. Same to you guys, man. You guys stay safe out there. Stay blessed and roll tide.
You too.
There you go. Roman Harper. Thanks to Mark Seidel, our former boss, for hooking us up with Roman with some firsthand experience. That was interesting what he said about Cam Newton, about his image when you're outside the organization versus when you actually deal with the guy inside the organization. He sounds like a big Cam Newton fan. Grab bag to close things out. I think we have a special guest. We will not allow him on microphone, but I guess he's just wandering around town, ignoring social distancing.
Swing shorts.
Continue the Cofield and Company conversation on Facebook. Friend us at ESPN Las Vegas.
Hey, hold on. Bagel.
Grab bag. Brought to you by the Golden Nugget Las Vegas.
Don't touch it. Don't even look at it.
Only on ESPN Las Vegas.
What you doing? Stick your hand in there, dude.
John Von Tobel here, Cofield. We'll close it out. John, I was thinking about going for a walk after the show. What do you think?
gone on like 20.
Let me get your mic up there. There you
okay,
go.
All right.
Flawless yeah. show until then.
I've gone on like 20 since this quarantine thing.
That's nice. Good
they're
exercise.
Completely overrated.
What does that mean?
Well, because they're not exercise. You're just walking. And like,
well, for people who are incredibly sedentary and don't do anything, walking is really good exercise.
I guess. And it's just like you're not going anywhere because I'm stuck in my apartment complex or walking around the apartment complex. You can't really cover a lot of ground. And now it's overrated because there's so many people walking because none of us can do anything. And so there's a lot of people, and it's even worse. I can't practice my social distancing. People keep walking by me, and I hold my breath.
I don't blame you. I told you, last weekend I went shopping, and I was running from aisle to aisle. I kept getting trapped.
Yeah.
Like, get away.
Like the dog story where the kid
my fault for going shopping, though.
The kid tried to run up and pet a guy's dog, and I grabbed him. Like he was going to run into a bottomless pit. Don't go over there.
Back in the bag, Ari.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
So this show, by far, is one of the weirdest shows with the weirdest people. I think this may be more the norm for guys, but there are guys who enjoy their special day. This show is the most anti-birthday show anywhere in the country.
Whose birthday is it?
It got snuck into the show. I didn't want it mentioned for 3 hours, but Justin Watkins is a normal human being, so he said happy birthday.
No.
To me.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. You had no idea. I was not going to mention it. Well, we actually just had a friend of the show. I'm not going to say who it is. Very honored because he's the last person you would think would give a gift. Actually just dropped off a calzone. And when I saw it was – like I don't get excited often unless it's Tom Brady leaving the Patriots and then I cry. When I opened the box, I was like, oh, yeah.
They actually put him at the top of the list.
Stromboli or calzone? I don't want to hear the voice. Which one? Stromboli? Okay, Stromboli. I said calzone. Stromboli.
By the way, my wife asked me, are you going to get Steve anything for his birthday? And I said, I was on that show for 3 years and didn't get a happy birthday once.
Yep.
No.
No idea. No one ever knows anyone else's birthday.
I left this show after 3 years, and it was in the grab bag, say bye to John, and we never got to it.
We just cut it off. So there you go. Someone had a birthday today. We're not celebrating it.
How old are you?
Old, man. This is a bad one.
Yeah, 50.
It's this. I don't know. This is bad.
5-0.
This is real. Back to your topic of walking. I got to walk. I'm at the age. Like, you were like, it has no value. It does when you're this old. My God.
Getting in that risk range, too.
Where's the time gone? Where's it gone? Oh, good job, Ari. Appreciate it. Thank you to John. We're back here tomorrow. Check out LVSportsNetwork.com for the archives.